Well, Bill, thank you for that introduction, and I want to welcome each of you here to this seminar that I think is very important, and it's near to my heart because, as Bill mentioned, I served as a pastor, and for those of you who are pastors, you probably remember the day that you received your first call to a church. I remember my first call, and it was a great day. I mean, it was an exciting day, a joyful day. It was a culmination of a lot of years of training and preparation for the ministry, because I knew at that time God had called me to be a minister of His Word, to preach, to teach, to care for His people, to reach the lost and be involved in the Great Commission. But that call was more than just a call to service by a church. It was a call that contained a promise by the church to support me and my family in our ministry efforts for the church. And that's why we have it called the architecture of a call package, because as you know, in the book of church order, it mentions not only the call in terms of service, but also the terms of call. In other words, the financial part, which includes a salary and then all the benefits that go with it. So what we want to do today are cover these topics that you see. We'll talk about salary. We're going to look at housing allowance, insurance products, Social Security, and retirement savings. And we call these building blocks of the architecture or the structure of a call package. And it's important for us to understand these and have a complete package for our pastors. So I'm glad we have some ruling elders and, of course, teaching elders here with us. Now, as Bill mentioned, if you have a question as we go through all these topics, jot that down, and I'll address those when we finish. We'll have a moment to do that, and if we run out of time, then I can talk to you later on. And you can come to our booth as well. We'll have information for you there. Let's talk about the call package in just a general way. It contains two components, the salary and benefits. And most churches will also add to that the professional allowances, such as car allowance, travel, meals, book allowance, things of this nature. But those are monies given to you by the church in order for you to do ministry. They're really not for your personal use. So we want to encourage the churches and for you to understand that that should not be part of your call package, but separated and put into another part of the church budget. We'll note that in the structure of a call package, wage increases for salary and benefits will be impacted. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. A great concern for a lot of us is health care, and the expense of it, the increases notably outpace inflation. We could say that that kind of inflation for health care is inflation on steroids. It's really growing. And then there'll be tax implications we'll consider, insurance, and retirement costs that we want to look at. Let's begin, first of all, looking at the call package in a comparative way. We have two great Presbyterians up here, John Calvin and John Knox. They both receive calls to churches. Now, John Calvin goes to the New Geneva Reformed Church. And you notice his call package is salary and benefits for $50,000. Again, this is just a comparison for as we look at the structure of two church call packages. And then John Knox receives one to the New Edinburgh Presbyterian Church. Now notice the difference in this. Just initially, his call package is a salary of $42,000 plus benefits. So you begin to see a difference there. This will be clearer in this next comparison. We break down this into financial numbers, salary and benefits in call package one, $30,000. Housing allowance, you notice in both of the packages, is $20,000. And so call package one is a total of $50,000, as we saw earlier. Now notice the difference in call package two. You have salary at $22,000, of course the housing, but notice the benefits. They're separated from the salary that call package one has. You have health for $6,200, retirement contributions for $2,100, and then your long-term disability and term life at $600 total for $50,700. Now, you might wonder, so what's the difference besides the salary difference there? If you remember, I said that inflationary cost in healthcare can substantially affect the call package structure. Call package one, the pastor receives that money to pay his own benefits. He can do whatever he wants with that money, but he'll pay his own benefits. The healthcare cost, as they continue to increase, how is that going to affect him? It's going to affect his salary. He'll wind up taking part of his salary to pay those inflationary costs. But in call package two, the church is paying those benefits, not the pastor. And so the church will pick up that inflationary cost, and that will really not affect his salary, his salary and housing. Now let's look at another comparison. In this second comparison, we have the salary and housing of both of those listed, but we have the taxation as the main view here. It's 15% for both of these, as you notice. Now, you may not be aware of it, but maybe you are. Federal tax is only on salary. Social Security taxes both housing and salary. That's why Social Security tax is higher in both cases. But in both cases, they're both taxed at 15%. But you notice the take-home pay is much lower than call package one than in call package two. The reason why, because John Calvin in call package one is paying his own benefits, which are being taxed. They're being taxed. So his take-home pay is $29,100. Call package two, because the church pays the benefits, they're not being taxed. It's a tax-free benefit for John Knox. And so his take-home pay is $32,400. So you see how the structure made a huge difference in take-home pay of $3,300. Now, if they're both paid twice a month, then call package two would take home $140 more a month on the average. That's a big difference. As we continue to look at salary, most of us are aware that the pastor has a dual tax status. And the reason why is because he's considered self-employed for Social Security purposes. But for income tax purposes, he's considered an employee of the church. So how would he report his taxes? Well, if he is, it's really a matter of the control, the degree of control. If he is part-time, for example, not under the authority of a session, he pretty much decides his own ministry schedule and ministry efforts, then he would use Form 1099 because he would report it using that as a self-employed pastor. However, most pastors, the vast majority of pastors in the PCA are considered employees of the church, so they would use a W-2 form to report their taxes each year. Now, ministers have to pay, since they are self-employed, involved in Social Security, need to pay on a quarterly basis an estimated tax. So they can go into an agreement with the church withholds that money, and then it can be paid at a proper time. But the pastor, let me say about this now, the pastor really needs to take charge of this and make sure it's done. I was at a presbytery meeting a couple of months ago, and a pastor came to me and said, I have not been paying Social Security tax. The church has not been paying either for a number of years. That's a serious problem. So make sure that you're talking to the church and that tax is being paid. Let's talk about housing allowance. And probably most of you are aware that housing allowance is a great benefit that the federal government gives to pastors in order to have tax-free money that is applied to any expense of living in a home, such as a mortgage and any upkeep expense. We have two questions to really understand this. Who can receive housing allowance? And the IRS gives us these guidelines. First of all, you must be ordained. And then secondly, is really a combination of those two, conduct worship services and administer the sacraments, and then be recognized by the presbytery and the denomination as a leader in the church and in the denomination. And so with one of those, or really with that, one can be having housing allowance. Now, that may raise a question, especially in our larger churches that have multiple ordained staff who are not involved in worship, who do not minister the sacraments. Would they be eligible for this housing allowance? And they are, because they are ordained, if they're truly ordained and recognized by our denomination as being an ordained minister. That brings us to the second question. How much can one have for housing allowance? And notice it's the lesser of the three. So again, the IRS gives us guidelines for this. It's what the session would declare in advance. So pastors, we need to go to the session before the next tax year, let them know an estimate of what we expect to have. They record that, and so it's official. Or it could be a fair rental value. If you live in a manse or have a pastor in a manse, then the value of that in living there would be what he would use, or the actual expenses. So keep a great record of all your expenses, and it would be the lesser of the three. And that brings us to some other exclusions. Not only do the housing allowance we enjoy, but teaching elders also have occasion to receive gifts from members. I remember an elder would always come to me at Christmas in my first church and hand me a check. And it was just a small check, but it was nice to receive that. You may receive that as well. Those are monies that are not taxed, so you can have the benefit of that, up to $11,000. Now, it has to be money that's not connected to any kind of service at all within the church. It can't be something that's organized as well that becomes like a bonus. It has to be disconnected to any service performance in the church. Now, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of our benefits, that such as insurance premiums, those can be tax-free money for medical care. Now, if you're self-employed, involved in Social Security, you are considered self-employed, but you can deduct half of that in your income tax when you report it. Disability insurance is also a tax-free benefit. However, it can be an optional. If you choose to be taxed, then if you ever are disabled, the money you receive would be tax-free. So you can choose either tax-free or tax on that. An employer paid life insurance up to $50,000 benefit coverage. Now, a lot of our churches also have schools with them, and they may let you bring, or you may want your child to go to that school. If you have a tuition reduction, that money is also tax-free. And then I hope that most ministers will continue to be involved in education, go back for another degree, go to seminars. You can also enjoy $5,250 as tax-free money for educational expenses per year. So those are great exclusions for you in non-taxed money. Another building block, a very important building block of the architecture of a call package, are the insurance products that you receive. And I hope that all of your churches will benefit you by giving these insurance products to you in your call package. Let's look at these now. Let's begin first with health. Now, just a reminder, as you're all aware, that the PCA does not offer health insurance to our ministers or lay workers in the church, and we regret that. We wish we could do that. However, there was not enough interest within our churches for this in order for us to do it where it would be cost effective. But what we want to do with this is give you information so that you as a pastor or your pastors in the church can look and investigate and find the best insurance for your family that would meet your need and be affordable for you. Again, I mentioned earlier that health care increases notably outpace inflation. So this gives us a motivation to find the best care for us. There are several types of plans out there. The HMO, the Health Maintenance Organization. There's also the PPO, or Preferred Provider Organization, and the POS, or Point of Service Plan. Those three plans are what constitute most medical coverage out there. There are two differences between those three. And the first is, of course, the out-of-pocket expenses, deductibles and copays, things of this nature. How much do you pay in order to have coverage? HMO is the lowest you can find. Not that it's necessarily cheap, but it's the lower of the three. However, the second part of the distinction is how restrictive is the medical care that you would receive. HMO, as you know, operate within a small network of doctors, and you have to stay within that network. If you go outside of it, then you'll pay money for that care. But it's very affordable, but restrictive. Now, the other two, the PPO and the POS, are less restrictive, but they're more costly. So you can balance that and find out which is the best plan for you. Most of them have a prescription drug plan with it. So you can ask about that and see what are the costs involved in getting prescription drugs. There are other cost-saving measures that you might want to ask about, such as copays or co-insurances, deductibles. How much do you pay per month for these products and for your plan? Now, there's another product on the out there that's called the Health Savings Account, or HSA. The HSA, how that operates, has been on the market for a couple of years. It's attached to one of these plans, and when you pay a deductible, part of your deductible, not your deductible, your premium, part of your premium goes into a savings account. That savings account is tax-free. You won't be taxed on that money. You can save it for as long as you want to. It belongs to you. Then you can use that money, draw it out of the account, and pay on your medical expenses. And that money is always yours. You don't have to spend it with any period of time. But the downside is that the deductibles are very high, $1,000 per individual, up to $2,000 for family. But if you're a healthy individual, healthy family, this might be the plan for you. You're basically self-insured for the first $1,000 or $2,000. And that way you can save money and put it into your expenses. Now, one other option is the non-insurance plans out there. And several of these are the Good Samaritan and the Christian Care MediShare. These are non-insurance options. And how they work is a group of people will come together and pool their money into an account, and as they have particular medical needs, they draw out of that to pay their expenses. Now, the warning for us as pastors and churches, this is a non-insurance. It's not regulated by the government. So be aware of that. But it could be a good option for us. And you can call us at our office, and we'll give you more information as you might be considering that. And any other questions you might have, we'd be glad to help you with that. Let's look at disability insurance. And I really encourage our churches to have this insurance for our pastors. The reason why is because it replaces the income lost due to an illness or injury. Cancer is the highest claim for disability, and it may take months for a pastor to recover. So how is he going to receive money if the church can't afford to pay him and someone else to do ministry? And so it would do that. And the likelihood of becoming disabled is 3 times greater under the age of 50. So this is a needed insurance product for you. The average policy out there pays about 60% of your disability income. The PCA plan under Unum Provident is a great plan. It pays 66 2/3, so it beats the industry average. It also pays 9% to your retirement plan if you're involved in that, 75 2/3%. And if you're an ordained minister, you can enjoy the housing allowance as well with this. So those are great benefits with our plan under Unum Provident. Now, our plan is the long-term disability. We have a 90-day elimination period. So after 90 days of your disability, you will begin to receive your payments for disability. We've not ever had any interest in the short term, so we don't offer that. Now, your church might offer that for you to fill in that period of either 30 up to 180-day short-term period. If they don't, they may want to just pay you during that short term. So that's a benefit you may want to look into. Now, disability is really defined with these two terms, own occupation or any occupation. The PCA plan under Unum Provident is a two-year own occupation plan. That means that if you can't work as a pastor, if you're not able to carry out your duties, then you're considered disabled under the term of own occupation. Now, after 2 years, when it switches over to any occupation, if you're disabled and you can't perform any duty that you've been trained or educated for, not just being a pastor, but perhaps if you were an accountant before you became a pastor, and you can't perform that duty, then it would be defined as a disabled condition under any occupation. Let's look at another insurance product, and that's life insurance. And again, we offer this as well as the term, the disability, and this is under MetLife, our carrier. The idea of having this is to minimize the financial hardship in the event of your death. Now, most of us, when we think of dying, we want to be able to take care of our survivor needs, help the family to be able to continue a lifestyle that they enjoyed when you were alive. But oftentimes we forget about the other two elements of state expenses. That includes burial expenses, lawyer fees, court expenses. And they can run into the thousands of dollars. Debt liquidation, maybe pay off your mortgage or a car, credit card, or maybe educational expenses. So you need to figure in these other elements when you decide how much life insurance you need. And the rule of thumb is anywhere from 5 to 7 times your gross annual income. Again, call us at RBI, go see our booth, and we can help you determine the amount that you need. There are several types of insurance products out there. Ours is a term life. We cover a certain period of time for a very small premium, and the premium pays only for that benefit. Whole and universal life insurance combine not only insurance for a life insurance plan, but also combines with a savings account toward retirement. We don't think that's the most effective means for retirement savings. So what we've done is separated retirement and life insurance into separate plans. And that's the most cost-effective way that you can use your money for life insurance and retirement. The PCA plan under MetLife also is available for your spouse and children. And give us a call, and we'd be glad to tell you more about how we can cover your loved ones. Now, guaranteed issue in medical examination, what that refers to is we have a period of time, 30 days, when you come to your church, when you're hired. It's called an enrollment period. If you enroll in that 30-day period, you're guaranteed to be covered. If for any reason you miss that, and I know a lot of pastors do, I've done that, you can still get the insurance. Don't be afraid of that, but you'll be given by MetLife a questionnaire for your medical history and perhaps a medical exam to be covered. But don't worry, you can be covered under this plan. Now let's go to another important building block of our call package, and that's Social Security. There are two parts to this plan, and we'll look at both of these, but most of us are aware of the Old Age Survivor and Disability Insurance, which covers these particular benefits of retirement, disability, and death. They're not only for you who pay, but they're benefits for your family, so it's important for your family as well. And you're well aware that these are supported by our tax monies. You pay either the FICA tax, which if you're an employee of the church will pay half, you'll pay the other half of 7.65. Now, ordained ministers, we have the privilege of paying the SECA tax if we're in Social Security, which is the full 15.3%, which is a good bit. The second part of Social Security is Medicare. This is a great benefit, especially in retirement. We encourage our pastors to stay in Social Security because of particularly this benefit. You're automatically qualified at age 65 if you're at a certain age now. It may be later, depending on your age at this point. And that there's an automatic qualification for Social Security, or rather for disability under their plan, which works in tandem with the PCA disability plan after 2 years. Now, we're all aware of the parts of Medicare. There's Part A, hospitalization. Part B is medical insurance. And there is a Part C, a combination of A and B. And then Part D, which has gotten a lot of press lately, that's for the prescription drug coverage. The IRS allows our ordained ministers of any denomination to opt out. And if you do choose to do that, then you fill out Form 4361, sign it, and send it in, and you are considered out of Social Security paying that tax. Once you're out, it's an irrevocable decision. In the past, there have been windows of opportunity to get back in. We don't anticipate that happening again, so consider it an irreversible decision that you make. The practical implications for getting out would be something like, well, you know, I can save that 15%. I can use it for paying on my car or something. But that really is not a reason to do that. We're required to do that only for a moral decision that you don't want benefits from the government at all, any kind of benefit now or in the future. So you make that decision, make it with prayer, with advice from others, but we encourage you to stay in Social Security. We don't think it's going to go away. We really don't. So it's going to be around for the long haul. Retirement is the last portion of our call package building block, the architecture of this. And it's very important because it's for savings in the future for your retirement years. Many of you will not be able to work. You're just physically not able. You'll need that kind of income for retirement age. And it might be that you choose to do something else. You know, Moses started his ministry at age 80. So when you reach the retirement age, don't consider yourself out in the pasture. God may call you to another ministry. He will. And you may not want to have to work in order to support yourself. This will do it for you. Now, we have several plans. There's the employer-based plans, the 401k. We're all aware of that. The 403B, that is for the PCA and other church denomination plans. And the pension plans. There's the individual IRAs, the traditional or the Roth plans that you contribute after-tax monies. Annuities, they're sometimes attached to those life insurances, but those are an expensive investment vehicle for retirement because of the commissions and other fees that they charge you. So those are things that we really encourage you to stay away from. And life insurance, as I mentioned earlier, not a good investment for retirement age. As an ordained minister, you have the privilege of using your housing allowance in your retirement money. So that lowers your tax liability, it lowers what you pay into that, and gives you more money to spend in your retirement years. In retirement, let's consider these asset classes real quickly. We have equities or stocks, fixed income or bonds, and cash equivalents. All three of these are found within the PCA 403 plan that you invest in. Each of these have different risk levels. We'll help you determine that risk level. Now, the asset allocation, you see the statement, 90% of the return is attributed to the asset allocation. So how you spread your money out is a term of art. How you spread your money out in different investment options is what we call allocation. And it's important to do that in order to get the best returns. We're often asked the question, how much should I contribute? The normal answer you might get, a very superficial really, is 10%. But that's really for someone who starts in their 20s. If you're older, you really need to contribute more. I had someone ask me yesterday, how much should I contribute? And he was older. I said, as much as you can. And he could only do maybe 1% each year, but he wanted to increase it. But if you're in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, as much as you're able to do, try to put that into your account. Now, the wonder of compound interest That's how your account grows. Albert Einstein said, this is the most powerful force in the universe. Now, I don't think any of us agree with him on that, but it's understood by the rule of 72, which is defined as a percentage of interest that you earn divided into 72 equals the number of years that your money will grow or double. Let's take an example real quickly. You've got $10,000 in your account. You're earning 8% on average a year. You take 8, divide it into 72. What is that? 9. So every 9 years, that money will double. So in 9 years, 10 becomes 20,000. Another 9 years, 40,000, so forth. And so that brings us to our last slide. Start now. So you see that the sooner you start, the more time you have for your money to grow through compounding interest. If you've not started, if your pastor has not started, help him, encourage him. Let your church give a portion of their money to him. Let it be a matching fund, but start now. Know your investment horizons, and there's several of these. How many years before you retire? Think about that. How many years do I have to put money into my account? How many years do you think you'll live be in the retirement years? How much money for a nest egg? What do you want to have every month? They estimate 80% of your present salary is what you'll need in retirement. Know your horizons and know your risk tolerance. What we mean by that is, we say a couple of questions. How much are you willing to lose when you invest money? What can you invest? What kind of risk can you invest and still have peace of mind? So answer those two questions. We have a worksheet called the Allocation Worksheet. It determines with three easy questions what your risk tolerance will be. If you flip it over, they will show models of how you can spread that money or allocate it based on very wise decision by our boards, by our board, and what kind of allocation. And stay diverse in your investment. Don't put it into one fund, but we have foreign and domestic funds. We have stocks, we have bonds, we have large companies, we have small companies, we have value stocks, we have growth stocks. Now, you may not know all of what that means, but there's a great diversity within the PCA plan. Stay diverse, and that will protect you from those low times that we've just experienced in the marketplace. They'll get better. And that means to keep a long-term approach. You've got a long time maybe till retirement. You've got a long time in retirement years. Look at it as a long-term investment. And when you do, you'll not chase all of the ups and downs of the market, trying to find the best one. Stay diversified. Keep that long-term approach. And remember, this is your next step of ministry. When you hit retirement years, God will call you into that. So we've looked at all of the different building blocks of a call. And I want to take a moment for any questions that you might have. And we have just a couple of minutes. If I'm not able to do that in the next couple of minutes, we can meet later, or you can come to our booth. Any quick questions at this time? Yes.
Talking about the housing allowance and the three different rules, you were talking about the fair rental value that was a man's or something that the church was providing.
Right. That's right. The question was, if in your own home, how would you really, which one would you consider? A fair rental value refers to a manse, because you're not paying rent. The church pays that for you. So what would it cost if you were doing that? If you have your own home, then you would take the mortgage. That would be part of your expenditures for your housing allowance. And that can include lawn care, repairs on your home, furniture, cleaners to keep your home clean, paint, any kind of service that you have for your home, like a security service. There are a lot of those. And you can ask. We've got worksheets on that as well. Did that answer your question? Okay. I tell you what, we're pretty much out of time. The next group is coming in. If you have questions, I'll be glad to stick around for a few minutes. Come to our booth or call our 1-800 number, and we'll be glad to help you out. But thank you for coming.